You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there, it's the Planet Football Podcast. Grant Wall here with Luis Miguel Echegaray. How are you, my friend?
The champions! That was terrible. I broke out the way.
People are going to turn this podcast off after that brutal performance. I was expecting so much more.
All right, I'll do it again. Ready? The champion! No, that was not. The champions! There you go.
You have come to the Three Tenors podcast where we will talk about UEFA Champions League here for a few minutes. We also have an interview coming up that I think you'll enjoy with Carolyn Kindle Betts, the majority owner of St. Louis's MLS expansion team starting in 2022. I sat down with her this week here in New York. Really interesting person. She is part of the only majority women-owned team in MLS and maybe actually in American sports. I should check that out. But interesting stuff about what they're doing. So stick with us after we talk a little Champions League here. Let's start. Real Madrid 1, Man City 2 in Madrid. My friend, this game changed a lot very late.
It changed a lot very late. And you know what? It was a really good game. I think if you look back at, you know, the highlights or even just the overall full performance from both sides, it really was a tremendous battle on so many levels, right? One of the main things that I was talking about before the game even started was that I think the key was going to be how Real Madrid contained Kevin De Bruyne, which is almost impossible, and that mainly depended on Federico Valverde, who's like just an underrated hero for Real Madrid. And then on the other side, how Man City's back line was going to be able to sustain. Well, we got the answers in this game, right? Laporte unfortunately came off injured. Fernandinho had to come in. On the other side, you know, we had Kevin De Bruyne just pulling the strings once again. A fantastic assist for Gabriel Jesus, but also just was so lethal throughout the whole game. And, you know, in the overall context of it all, I really thought that, you know, it was a really good, resilient performance from Manchester City. I think that taking away everything that's been going on with this club, when you're a player, just what's going on in your head, and when you're a manager, and just the need to focus entirely on the game can be sometimes difficult. And I think coming in a hostile environment like the Bernabeu was really, really commendable. Hats off to Gabriel Jesus, by the way, who I thought was really, really good. Not only did he score a goal, but, you know, his run, you know, gave away for that red card for Sergio Ramos. You know, Real Madrid losing arguably their most influential player was a key thing, and a really good win for Man City away at a hostile environment.
Plus, think about all the things that Gabriel Jesus was asked to do in this game. Pep Guardiola putting him out on the left wide, which is kind of crazy. And like when you see that at the start of the game, you're like, oh, Pep's overthinking things again in Champions League, as he kind of has in the past. But it actually worked out pretty well, you know, and you ended up having De Bruyne and Bernardo up front, basically, for a lot of this game. So I do love the sort of total wild cards that you could never expect Guardiola to do, and this was another example of that. But this time it worked out, and I think if you're Real Madrid, you do have to be frustrated here because you got a goal. Isco puts them up front 1-0, and you have to be feeling pretty good at home about where you are as long as you can keep that. And they just didn't do it late. Raheem Sterling, I thought, made a nice impact, yep, earning the penalty coming on later in the game. But if you're Man City, I mean, they also just converted a penalty, which they hadn't done much lately.
Right.
And if you're Man City, I think you've got to be full of so much confidence right now. And if you're Real Madrid with the Clásico coming this Sunday at home, again, another home game, they had an opportunity to get two huge home wins this week. They already missed one opportunity. If they lose at home to Barcelona and go 5 points down in La Liga, that's going to be hard times for Zidane. There's a lot riding on this game this weekend, even more than usual.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, the key point here is Sergio Ramos's loss, I think, because out of anything that you can try and evaluate, analyze from Zinedine Zidane and what he's going to do when they go to the Etihad is, you know, offensively, you can pretty much figure it out. They have enough weapons to try and figure it out. At the back, though, you know, that Rafael Varane and Sergio Ramos partnership is crucial. So now that you lose that part, and to your point, El Clásico coming up, you know, there are key decisions to be made for Real Madrid. I just think that this was a really good performance from Man City. I think, as you mentioned, Raheem Sterling almost as well, you know, increased the level of how Man City played to probably a 30-40% when he came on. I mean, Carvajal just fell for the typical Raheem Sterling move. And, you know, Man City should feel very good in the Champions League coming into the second leg.
Let's move on. Chelsea 0, Bayern Munich 3. And I am going to remember this game as the Alphonso Davies game.
Yeah.
Because on the highest stage in world soccer, and that's what UEFA Champions League knockout rounds are, this MLS product was the best player on the field.
Yeah. He was unbelievable. And what a great story. I mean, we've reported on him, you've interviewed him, we've talked so much about this person. You know, we don't have to go on and on about his storyline, but it is incredible and so inspiring, right? The, you know, his family, you know, leaving Liberia, going to a refugee camp in Ghana. He was born in Ghana, then Canadian, you know, moved to Canada. And now look what he's done, an MLS product. And like you said, the best player on that pitch. And the left side of Bayern Munich just completely dominated. In fact, in every single angle, every single statistic, Bayern Munich just dominated Chelsea. More shots on target, more possession. Just in any single possible way that you can think of, Bayern Munich dominated, and it's a clear leader in the second leg. Obviously, we're going to talk about the almost surprising piece of news, right? That Robert Lewandowski will be out.
Yeah. 4 weeks.
Which really says a lot in terms of who is going to be that tip man. Maybe Müller. Maybe Gnabry might even push
That's
a little bit
higher.
That's
what it sounds like it might be.
Yeah. So there's still decisions to be made. But I still, because of the three-goal cushion and because Hansi Flick has developed such a team cohesive unit, I still don't see anything but a Bayern Munich win in this one.
You know, Bayern's had to deal with quite a few injuries this year. And obviously it's a big loss not to have Lewandowski for the next month. There's some big games coming up for them, not just in Champions League, but in the Bundesliga, where they're in a real dogfight. But, you know, you hear Mourinho talk about, you know, he's missing his guys and that's why they're losing so many games. You know what? Hansi Flick's not talking that way about Bayern, and they've lost just as many guys that are important. And that's something I find impressive. So we can all say that, well, ever since Guardiola left Bayern, the coaching hasn't been very good and blah, blah, blah. I kind of don't buy it. And I also am very impressed by what they've done to develop players or just make players that we've known about better. So whoever had the idea to put Alphonso Davies at left back, that was smart, you know? And this guy, you could argue, is the best left back in the world right now. I mean, crazy.
It's an arguable comment and it's a realistic one. Absolutely.
You know, and then you see a guy like Serge Gnabry who, you know, had started to revive his career at Hoffenheim after, you know, the troubles at Arsenal.
Once deemed not good enough for Tony Pulis, Grant.
Correct. And I remember on this podcast, at the start of last season, I interviewed Serge Gnabry when they were in Philadelphia preseason. And I actually, I will admit this, that when the Bayern Munich press people asked me who I wanted to interview for my podcast, Serge Gnabry wasn't at the top of my list. And at a certain point, I think I interviewed another guy on that trip, Arjen Robben. But, you know, at that point, I kind of thought Gnabry would be an afterthought, but the Bayern people were like, really, he's been great so far in preseason. He's going to make an impact for us, and we believe in him, which was smart because he's been terrific and just scoring so many big goals. So many in London, by the way, this Champions League.
Bayern loves London.
He really does. And so I just find that impressive. I think there's an aspect of coaching that is underrated, which is take your existing players and make them better.
Yep.
I think Bob Bradley's the best at it in MLS. I think there's other coaches. Jurgen Klopp's another one who's taken existing players. Liverpool didn't do any major transfers last summer, and they're still so much better this year even. I think that's an underrated skill.
Absolutely. Listen, out of any, and we're not going to get too much into it because this really is Champions League analysis, but out of any sport, this game of ours is about how to develop tactically, because you are not just working with yourself, but you're working with your other teammates. It's not as individualistic as other places, but if you are learning the craft from the right manager, the sky is the limit, and the Bundesliga is a perfect example for that.
Yeah, disappointing for Chelsea here to be down 3 going back to Bayern. This one's pretty much done. And I think if you're Frank Lampard, you really do need to focus on the league and getting things right, because this hasn't been a good run for Chelsea.
And listen, like all the arguments that they wanted to make sure that the transfer ban was reduced and taken away, and they didn't really bring anybody in January.
Let's move on. Lyon 1, Juventus 0 in France. And the pressure is starting to grow on Maurizio Sarri, even though they're in first place. Are they in first place in Serie A still?
Let me just double check.
Where's Lazio? Jesus, I should know this. It's a great race. They're at the top of
They are at the top, 1 point above Lazio.
Okay. Pretty rare that you see a league-leading team with a coach really on thin ice, but this is the situation we have here. It's kind of like Valverde earlier in the year with Barcelona. And Lyon, give them some credit, you know? They created the chances, mostly in the first half. They deserved this. And the midfield for Juventus, not good. Sarri afterwards saying that he can't seem to get these guys to understand that to move the ball at pace, at speed, like with rhythm. And that leaves you asking, well, you're the coach. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, the midfield thing, it's funny, like the irony of it all. I saw our friend Matteo Bonetti tweet about this, you know, all the money and effort to bring Cristiano Ronaldo to Juventus, and you kind of forget about who's supporting Cristiano Ronaldo. I take it a little bit of a different angle to this one. I think obviously Lyon deserves this win. They worked absolutely so hard to get this 1-0, but it's still just 1-0.
True.
And I think that going back, Juventus going home, I think you might see a different outcome. But I will tell you this, there are a few things about the situation. I actually was more worried about Juventus at the back. I thought Bonucci had a terrible game. Actually, he was very lucky that Moussa Dembélé, who's just such a headache, didn't score more goals. So the midfield to me is an issue, but at the back, I thought Juventus was a mess. De Ligt once again struggled, and I think they were overwhelmed by the overall reception. But the other note to take, by the way, is that Marcelo, Lyon's defender at the back, probably should have gone a red card. So that's also a different type of rhetoric that we could have taken away. Having said all of that, the issue remains with Juventus, which is the overall strength throughout the squad is still maybe not good enough to win the entire tournament. And yesterday proved that. I do think, though, that Juventus will win this in the second leg. But harder challenges will come, and I don't think they'll overcome that.
I think this is a similar feeling I had to Liverpool losing 1-0 at Atletico Madrid. You just feel like in the return leg that Liverpool and Juventus will probably do what they need to do to advance, but stiffer challenge than maybe expected.
Yeah.
Moving on here, Napoli 1, Barcelona 1. And, you know, Barcelona's going to have the advantage going home at 1-1, but not the most convincing performance here. They go down to Dries Mertens' goal, end up getting the equalizer through Griezmann, but not great. Vidal sent off, so he won't be available in the next game.
Shocker.
Yeah, exactly. And Piqué might be a question mark for El Clasico this weekend. Looked like he might have an injury.
Yeah, and listen, the key part too is Busquets is suspended for the second leg, who was, you know, the provider that started the chains in that goal. Obviously, as you mentioned, I still see Barcelona as favorites. It's 1-0, now they're heading to Camp Nou. But, you know, Napoli did what Napoli, Gattuso clearly just did the typical Gattuso way in many ways. Just hold, you know, just sit sharp and just wait to counter. And Mertens' goal was fantastic. Lionel Messi was underwhelming for his standards, absolutely. But I think that, again, the second leg will prove different. But again, you know, we look at this squad, we look at the way they play, and you think, is there really not enough creativity and pace that could have been done more in order to maybe gain an advantage? I think you might see that in the second leg. But I'll tell you this, I think the biggest priority is for Jordi Alba to come back. Because Jordi Alba, on the left-hand side, does so much in terms of going forward and interacting with the likes of Griezmann and Messi that he is able to create more headaches for the opponent's defense. And I think that he needs to be back for this game. But again, the injury that you mentioned to Piqué, Busquets suspension, Vidal sending off, and now Jordi Alba hoping to come back. There's a lot of problems there that Barcelona has to fix. And this is 1-0. You know, it's not like they came with a win. But I still see Barcelona leading. But again, just like Juventus, when you face a bigger challenge, a bigger mountain, like, say, a Liverpool, for example, forget about it.
Always good to talk Champions League with you. Great to have it back every week on the rhythm like this. Now we will have our interview with Carolyn Kendall-Betts of the St. Louis MLS expansion team.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Our guest today is Carolyn Kendall-Betts, the owner of St. Louis. Their expansion team is set to start play in MLS in 2022. Thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Lots to talk about here in New York. St. Louis is one of the great soccer cities in American soccer history. What kind of response have you gotten from people in St. Louis to finally bringing an MLS team there?
It was so exciting. And I mean, people were just, there's really no word to describe it other than it was finally, we're bringing soccer home. I can't wait. How do I buy season tickets? I get to, you know, experience history with my grandkids and my kids. So, I mean, the region has been super supportive. And I think to use the word exciting is an understatement.
What is your personal connection to the city of St. Louis?
Well, let's see here. Third generation of a very successful business. So the city has been great to my family, both professionally and personally. And so I think my grandfather really started about, you know, his love and passion for St. Louis and making it, you know, a world-class city. My parents, my aunt and uncle, they continued that. And so I think in our generation, it was, we need to continue to elevate St. Louis to the international status, I believe, that it is. And so our family really focuses on projects that do just that.
There had been an attempt to bring an MLS team to St. Louis a couple years before yours that was unsuccessful. Can you tell me the story? How did you get involved with the bid?
Well, I think in a very positive way, there was a lot of lessons learned. Mm-hmm. And so I think when we were wrapping up some other bigger projects that my family had been working on, it was, okay, there was a lot of excitement around this, so maybe we should go figure out why, not being a soccer family, by the way. And it was interesting, whether it was sort of anecdotal, just social media, different ways. St. Louis fans really wanted a professional soccer team. And so hence started the research and the journeys and the phone calls. And what we found out was, you know, MLS is a great league that's just on the cusp of becoming something huge. And so what a great opportunity for us to get involved, you know, right now and be able to experience that growth with them.
Did the need and desire to get an MLS team for St. Louis increase in any way when the NFL team left the city?
You know, I think the honest answer is no. I think that they're very different fan bases, but I think more importantly, St. Louis is just excited about their sports. Yeah. And I think because you have such a rich soccer history in St. Louis, people felt like we're probably more of a soccer town than anything else. But, you know, we had the Battlehawks XFL game last Sunday, and I went, and it was crazy. St. Louis fans love their sports. They're loyal. You know, and they will support anything sports related in St. Louis. And we're just excited that we get to be a part of that soon.
What are your plans on coming up with a team name and team colors?
Well, it was interesting. So we opened it up on our website and we got over 6,000 names. Took a little while to sort through. There were some common themes in there. So really right now, it's just working with MLS, trying to make sure we hone in the specifics of what names would be truly iconic and unique to St. Louis. Then from there, colors, crest. So we're hoping to be able to unveil all of that in the next couple of months. Personally, I'm excited because the number one question I get, what's the team name? So I'm hoping people have no more questions after they know, right?
St. Louis will be the first MLS club majority owned by women. What does that mean to you?
Well, I think first of all, I feel very fortunate that my family can do this and is in that position to be able, first of all, to explore a professional soccer team. But second, I mean, my family's 8 women when it's all said and done. Even the women are having women. So I think it's just been a great opportunity for us to really take the successes we've had, and that's defined in a multitude of different ways, and really be able to showcase the leadership opportunities that are out there. You know, you have 3 of us that work for the business. You have some that have started their own small, successful businesses. You have some that are incredible community leaders. So it's really just being able to find out what you're passionate about and continue that drive, continue forward, continue, you know, and I say at the end of all the hard work, there's a huge reward.
There are some MLS teams that also have teams in the Women's League, the NWSL. Are you interested in that?
You know, I think at this point, I've got to get some holes dug and some steel going in the ground. I think right now, in order to really make sure we have a very successful 2022 season, that has to be the main focus. But certainly, we're up for suggestions, any ideas. But right now, I kind of just have to put my head down and with my team and get to March of 2022.
The stadium looks beautiful. I've seen the designs. And from what I've read, you want to have it ready for when your team starts play in 2022. How are you feeling about all of that right now?
Well, good. We did have maybe a minor milestone to our group, but currently the land is, it was on and off access ramps from a highway. So being able to close those down and actually start digging up those ramps was a big deal for our team. But I think it was also a big deal for the city, too, because it's, hey, St. Louis, we're really doing this. So we look forward to a more intense, more robust groundbreaking. But for right now, things are going as planned.
Great. Let's see what else here. MLS has these regular board of governors meetings where all the owners get together fairly regularly. What have you observed so far in those meetings that stands out to you?
Well, first of all, I think how kind everybody is. We've only been to 2, but everybody makes it a point to make sure they shake hands and say hello. And so somebody once told me they'll be really competitive on the pitch, but off the pitch, everybody has to work together. And I really do believe you see that. And while there can be some disagreements and certainly different points of view, it seems that we, at least the 2 meetings I've been to, it seems that people get to a good place. I think you have a lot of variety represented, age group, business style, what other professional sports teams are there. But I think I always walk away feeling really good, like we made a good decision. But I think a lot of it comes down to the ownership group of these teams. And like I said, you know, there's no strangers, which for being the new person really makes you feel good about the choice you made.
There's a spectrum, in a sense, of MLS owners based on some want to spend more than others. Some would want to go long term, maybe be a bit more conservative. It seems to me like some of the newer expansion teams in the league, like Atlanta, LAFC, are a little more on the we want to spend mm-hmm. end than maybe some of the original team owners. Mm-hmm. Where on that spectrum do you think St. Louis will fall in terms of like how much you want to spend on like star players and stuff?
Right. I think we need to bring in a team that has a lot more background and knowledge. So a sporting director or technical people. And the reason why I say that is because when you're not familiar with the sport and what the fans want, it's pretty hard to make a decision you feel good about. So I think once we start having that sporting side develop, and then we sit down with the ownership group and really talk about, you know, what is the philosophy of this team, I think that answer will just sort of organically come to us. But I think it's too early in this process to say, you know, we're going to be this team or we're going to be that team. The only thing I can confidently say is we have to do what's best for the St. Louis fans. And they will dictate a lot of how the philosophy of the team rolls out.
2 years from now, you're going to be starting that season. What are you most looking forward to over the next 2 years?
Well, let's see here. How much time do you have? you know what? I think it's just really, it's getting a stadium going. Yeah. It's getting a practice facility. It's getting those key hires. It's watching the fans grow with us, mm-hmm. you know, because there's a lot we have to do and a lot that we can engage them in. And hopefully we attract more fans. You know, maybe there's a younger generation that in 2 years is ready to become a diehard St. Louis, whatever we are, fan. So I think that is what's most exciting is how we can continue to keep fan engagement. And also too, our corporate partnerships are key. Yeah. And how do we co-brand or do events with them so that the region sort of starts uniting? And when that first kick happens, it's better than anybody could have expected.
Carolyn Kendall Betts, congratulations.
Thank you.
Good luck. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Planet Football Podcast. I'd like to thank Carolyn Kendall Betts, as well as producer Harry Swartout and everyone at Sports Illustrated who supports this podcast. Remember, if you like the podcast, it would really help us if you go to Apple Podcasts and provide a rating and a review, and we'd appreciate you recommending the podcast to someone you know. See you next time.